you know, I was thinking about it today, and I was thinking how that all of us have purpose. God has given us all purpose, you know. And if you're just, I was thinking about mothers, you know, with their children and all of that, you know, and I was thinking how some of them think, well, I need a good career and all that. And I thought about how that the greatest career of a mother is to raise the children. I mean, that is that's, you know, because you think about it, everybody had a mother. And so I was thinking about that then. I was thinking about, you know, finding God's will. You know, faith begins in my life. You know, the Lord told me, he said, faith begins where you know my will in your life. He said, once you know my will in your life, he said, faith is in knowing my will. You know, because faith is, the word is full of faith. I mean, it contains it. It's in it. I mean, there's power in God's word. There's power in it, you know. And I was thinking about it today. I was thinking, you know, just in general, how many people that I've seen and know over the last 30 years, you know, that, you know, some started off well in the Lord, and I mean, they hungry to know the will of God. They're going after God and all that, and they begin to come up. I literally watched their lives, you know. I watched mine, and it seemed like a long time before it did, but, you know, you got to get things rooted in you. You got to find God's will. But everywhere, and I begin to notice, you know, and I thought about it, I thought, Lord, there's a lot of people that is not living the life that you want them to live. And I'm not talking about because they're great sinners or, you know, it's just they know, some know God's will and they will not fight for God's will. Some fight against God's will, like prosperity and healing, and some teach against God's will. You know, you don't want to think that happens, but they are doctrines of demons out there. There's people that go by there. I was talking to a guy the other day, and it was 2007 or 8, maybe between 8 and 9. And I was behind on everything. And I knew that I was in the will of God where I live. Just because you're in the will of God don't mean that you're not going to face things that try to get you out of the will of God, whether it's living in your house, living in your dreamland. You know, whatever the case might be, you know. But I really felt really, really heavy and discouraged. And you would too if it was you. And you got your son and daughter-in-law living on the property. And I mean, things are just, you know, this is going to rock everybody, you know. If I go under, it's going to, but anyways, I was greatly under a lot of pressure there, here, the church, and business, you know, and all of that stuff. But I knew it was God's will. I knew that I was in the will of God. Satan couldn't come and say, well, you missed God down there in 94 when I went business for myself. Well, you missed God. You should have stayed at that church. No, I know the will of God down here. You know what I'm saying? And it was the will of God for, you know, Travis and them to be living out on our property. And I knew that it was the will of God. Well, anyways, at the time, and I'm talking about faith begins where the will of God is known. And the reason why that we need to know what the will of God is for our lives, whether it's our young people going to college, you know, we make our own plans. And we have plans and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to be planners. We need to be planners for our future. Planners going to college. Planners, you know, that's why I asked the kids, you know, are you making straight A's, you know? And some of them's yes and some of them's no. And I tell them, well, you're not studying. You're not trying. You know, I'm not going to pat that because that's not good. That's not an attribute God wants in the teenagers or in Aiden. He made a 7 out of 100 and he thought that was good. Woo, yes, 7. That's an F. Minus F, right? And so he said, that's good, ain't it, Papa? I said, no, that's not good. You know, 7 out of 100. See, I can't. Why I'm saying that is because he's got to know that he's going to grow up knowing that it's God's will for him to be and do his best. And we don't go along when it's not. God don't go along with us when we're out of his will. He brings us and tells us, this is my will, this is my will. And as we go after God, he will unfold his will. I've seen teenagers before, you know, they don't really know what God wants in their future, so they fast, they pray, and they sought the Lord. They were taught that, they prayed, they fast, they sought the Lord, and God sent them in a direction that they didn't even they didn't think they would go in that direction, but it ended up being a major blessing in their life because He anoints His will. God anoints the will of God in your life, praise God, you know. And so, but I thought about, you know, many, there was one guy came down here, raised up with him, partied with him back yonder in the day, you know, long time ago, and everything. And they didn't know that this ministry, they were seeing all the things going on in the ministry. And so they asked somebody, they said, who runs this ministry? And first time they'd been here. And they said, Scotty Weston. Scotty Weston? Scotty Weston's doing this. You know, and they said, yeah, he's down yonder. So he pulls down. He comes down there and he gets out, man, and he's in the world. He's not saved, you know, and he's dead now. You know, and I told him, I said, this could be you, man. I said, all I did, he said, how are you doing all this? I said, I'm not. God is. I said, God's doing all of this. I said, you know me. I'm not that smart. You know, we fried our brain back under on drugs, you know, we cooked it, you know. I said, but I found the will of God. I said, it's simply God backing up His will in my life. I said, this could be you, man. You get to know Jesus. You go after Jesus. See, we got to not, we can't walk by how we feel. I don't feel anointed all the time. Come on, somebody. I mean, I don't feel like I love God all the time. I mean, if you're experiencing that, you know, that you just all the time, you just, well, good for you. Glory to God. We're going to catch up with you. But as it is right now, we have to walk by faith, some of us. Praise God. You know, but anyways, that I was telling somebody that they'd messed up and they'd got back, you know, and everything. And I was feeling like that they were condemning themselves, you know. And how many knows you can make mistakes and do wrong things and then you can beat yourself up when God forgive you. God just forgive you, you know, and you can beat yourself up for weeks and months. I know I did when I backslid. Took me 3 months to feel right in church, but I was right. I'd done repented and all that, and I learned something from that. I thought, man, I wallowed in that for 3 months, and I didn't really have to. It wasn't God's will. He said there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I was going back after the things of God and all that, you know. But anyhow, in the middle of that great trial, and it was unreal that I was in this great trial, you know, because I mean, I was going to lose everything that I'd ever believed God for and walking in, you know. And so, anyhow, I got to noticing every Wednesday's church day, every Wednesday I would run into somebody in a wrong spirit. Now, I'm standing and I'm trying to believe God. I mean, I'm believing God that I'm not going under. I'm believing God that You're a God of breakthrough. See, that's what you got to do now. You know, because I know I'm in the will of God. But you know what? Satan, he couldn't come to me and say, well, you didn't seek God. God didn't really give you this house. God didn't really give you. But see, I sought Him for 10 years. I believed Him for 10 years. I knew that it was the will of God for me to have a house. Now, whenever you know something's the will of God, you don't lay that down. You don't let something come and the land fall through and houses fall through and just throw up your hands and say, now you have said, God, I'm not going to let You do Your will. You wouldn't consciously do that. But whenever we quit believing God because of circumstances and all of that stuff, we're laying the will of God aside. We're saying you can't do it. It's not going to happen, you know. I have to do it pastoring. 22 years, I'm shocked I'm still here. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, this guy, he had went to church and he had pastored a church and I mean, he was big on getting people into church and all of that good stuff, you know, and he was into tithing, and tithing is the will of God. You don't have to do it. It's not law. It's just not law. There's nothing in this Bible to me law from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I know they were under the law. They were. And the law was good to them. The law showed them they needed God. They needed Jesus. The law showed them the way that their ways were evil and God's was good. The law pointed them to prosperity. The law, that's what the law did. So, you know, don't get in arguments with people. This law, it's under the law. They still use Psalms 91. These people were under the law. But they don't use Malachi. You know why I say, if I was Satan, I would try to convince you as an individual not to tithe and not to give. Because if I was Satan and I know that I can get you unwilling to do the will of God, that it stops God. People say, well, God's sovereign. No, God has bound himself to the word. And God said in Deuteronomy 28 over there, now he was talking about the commands and do the laws that they had set out. He said, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to do all that I command you this day. He said, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Now, God told me back when I was reading that, and I'd learned about this law and stuff. I was free till I learned about it. I don't think I want to become a theologian until I've been saved 50 years. It messes people up. You don't need to be a theologian. I mean, don't strain everything. I mean, people just strain everything. Some. When we just supposed to be freely, like kids, going around serving God. Yes, sir, God, we're going to tithe. Hallelujah. Aiden, he comes to me and he says, Papa, you got some tithe money for me? I'm like, well, he don't know. He's supposed to earn it first. So I throw some money. Sure, I do. Why? He's tithe. He just freely, I give him that money. He'd put it in there, all of it. I'd give him some for Aubrey one day, and he's going to put hers in there. I said, that's not your job. You give that to Aubrey and let Aubrey decide whether she's going to tithe or not. You know, praise God. But some people, you know, and the enemy's great at it. Well, just for an instant, I'm believing God. I'm standing on the word of God. I'm behind on everything. And I mean, my mind, I can't figure nothing out, Johnny. I mean, I like that saying you got, you know, praise God. We don't have to be smart, you know. There's some things we can't figure out. We don't supposed to figure out. God takes care of us. We're supposed to let him take care of us. And that's by faith in him and, you know, and not complaining. We don't mean to complain. I don't think the children of Israel just got up there, all of them together, and look, we're just going to start complaining. Y'all all in? I mean, I don't believe that happened, that they just congregated out there and said, let's just complain the rest of our lives out here. I don't believe they planned that. I believe they laid down the will of God. They laid down the word of God. He told them, I'm taking you to houses. I'm taking you to land. I'm taking you to the promises. I mean, I wouldn't want him to go back and say, all right, here you are. I'm going to tell you all this stuff you're going to have to go through to get to the night. I don't really want to know. Looking back at it, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't know, because I would not have made it there. Because I'm in my own strength. I'm trying to learn how to serve God and all that. He couldn't put all of that on me at that moment. He had to develop and strengthen and build and here a little and there. That's what he's doing to your life. Here a little, there a little. But in the middle of my challenge, this guy, preacher, pastor, and you know, and all that stuff, and we were talking, and he said, now I didn't tell him nothing. I didn't tell him I'm behind. It wasn't because I was trying to hide anything. You know, I mean, it's just that I felt like if God's not big enough, ain't nobody can help me anyways. That's just where I was at that time. And so anyways, I didn't let them know, and I thought, besides telling them all of this, I've got, you know, don't let Satan tell you you just can't keep this stuff bottled up. No, if you're going to release it, give it to him. Don't release it to everybody. Don't release your problems to everybody. Facebook don't know when I got a cold if I got one. I don't never get one, but Facebook don't know it. Facebook don't know when the enemy's attacking the ministry. They don't care. Somebody's like, yes, they're meant to get them. Let them go under. We're sick of that church anyhow. All they do is Jesus this, Jesus that. And then food. Some people mad because we give out food, you know that? And clothes. And we're like Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care. I mean, we got an enemy out there, right? We got people that yields to him. Thoughts. You can if you ain't careful. That's what got me kind of discouraged in the time that I was going through, because I don't understand why God ain't you. Wrong. I was grieving the Holy Spirit when I should have been saying, count it all. Woo, yeah. Hallelujah, I'm going through. Psalms 20, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I should have been doing that, Johnny. I should have been praising him. Now I'm learning. And so I'm there, and he said, I give my way to poverty. Now I searched the scriptures in my mind, and I said, that's not possible. Well, nah, it is true. I'm here. I said, yeah, but God's word don't lie. The Bible says, let every man be a liar, and his word is truth, right? That don't mean I judge that guy, but I judge him wrong. His words coming out to me are not right. And I'm not going to sit there and swallow it. Oh, my God. If I had all that money I give away, I wouldn't be behind right now. I should. Now you are doing away with your back harvest. You're doing away with it. In other words, you're taking that seed and you're saying giving don't work. Now, the Bible says don't be weary in well doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't quit. And so I'm there and I'm in a hurry to get away from this person, you know, because it's making me feel even more defeated. So you don't need to surround yourself when you're going through with people that speak in defeat. When people that speak in their problems. Not that they're bad people. You got to protect the Word of God. Guard your heart, the Scripture says. Guard it, for out of it comes your light bill and your what? The issues of life. Right? Out of it comes your healing. Out of it comes your baby. I thought about Abraham and Sarah. Somebody, I don't want more kids. I don't either. If they saw them die, let's rejoice with them. Let's believe with them. Let's let them enjoy the ride. Enjoy it. I tell Travis Lott don't have to now, you know, as much. But I'd tell him he's going through, he needs a freedom. I mean, they would pay me and Teresa to make sure we get them on Tuesday night. I believe they would pay us big money. We get some leverage. You know, but I'd tell Travis every now and then, he'd blah, blah, blah. You know, he wasn't griping, it's just life, and he's having to deal with issues. Issues, right? Issues are all in the Bible. And so I'd tell him, well, son, y'all signed up for it. Joy the ride. I had him, so I know. I signed up for it. Hallelujah. But anyways, I got out of the presence of that guy. And I'm walking to the house, and I'm thinking, I hope Teresa's not in the wrong spirit. I'm telling you, I'm thinking, I hope when I get home that she's up. I hope she... See, y'all ladies at home, be up, because your man needs strength. Or vice versa. You know, and I start to the house, you know, and the Lord spoke to me. Holy Spirit, He said, never believe based on somebody else's. I'll preach it to y'all. I preach that revelation here. Now, if you don't understand it yet, get it out of your head and get it in your heart. You got to let it go past your theologically thinking, dissecting it to where you can understand. You cannot, with your head, understand spiritual matters. Spiritual things are put on the inside of us. We renew our mind. I thought about this. It says some plants, some waters, but who gives the increase? God. God gives the increase. I didn't get all the things that I know back down yonder 25, 28 years ago. Yeah, progressively as I followed the Lord, revelation, bam, here. Maybe 5 years later, bam, another one. But I could take that one revelation and run. I've been running on some of them 29 and a half years. and it still works. Why? It's God's Word. I found God's will. But anyways, the Lord spoke to him and he said, never believe. In other words, what God was saying, he said, you're believing based on what you're going through. You're believing. You're hoping. He said, you're hoping. He said, I need you in faith. See, in the enemy, he was trying to use people. They didn't know it. I don't believe most people that the enemy uses whenever we're going through even knows they're being used by him. Just have a carnal thought of defeat and it's got to tell you all about it. Why? It's trying to come again. I told a brother the other day, I said, let me tell you something. I said, I have saw it. In my own life, I said, every time, no matter what area I try to advance, I'm going to advance in the Lord, whether it's in my marriage, in my business, in the ministry, in church, in relationship, it don't make any difference. I said, most of the time, there is an adversary that is there to resist me. You got them. They come to your house. Don't get in. Me and Teresa done give you about 5 years in two or three messages about when you come home, what's wrong with you? Now, what's wrong with you? I was fine. We did it. We got into fights. What are you saying? I'm the devil? No, you're saying there ain't nothing wrong with you, so you're saying it must be me. And I'm telling you, ain't nothing wrong with me because I was good till I got home, and now you're saying it's me. And then before you know it, y'all done lost to left the Holy Spirit and angels sitting there going, oh my goodness. That's an adversary to try to get division between y'all two or your kids. Why? That your prayers will be hindered. The Bible says it'll hinder your prayers. I don't want my prayers hindered. See, why? Now, why am I saying that? Because I found out the will of God, that God don't want my prayers hindered. Now, when something comes, you know, to hinder my prayers or anything like that, you know, I got my antenna up and I'm like, ah, nah. Or if I go, I mean, I can take a nap on Wednesday and, I mean, the phone don't even ring for an hour and a half. And then I got it on silent, you know, and I get it over there and I get my Bible and it starts blowing up. And I'm tempted to say, oh, I better answer that. This is Wednesday. This is business. This is business. You know? And I just always think, the answering service will get you, bud. Then Satan, well, you'll have to lose a lot of money. I really will if I don't stay in this. This is where my money come from. The Bible. The attention to God. The attention to the kingdom. The Bible says seek first, but anyhow, God spoke that to me. And I'm going down through there and I'm trying to figure out what that means, you know. You never believe based on, and then I could hear the words of that guy. I gave my way to poverty. Now I'm in this and it looks like I've done the same thing, Johnny. Right? So that's bearing witness with the natural. But it's not bearing witness in here because I feel more discouraged. See, I'm giving you some meat here. And so I left there and I thought, yes, I see what the devil's trying to do. Well, you know what? I shifted gears and I got in there, praise God, and I found my scripture in there where it says, no man has left father, mother, lands, brothers, and sisters for my sake and the gospel hasn't lost anything, but he shall receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life. And I took that scripture, praise God, and I lifted it up to the Lord, and I said, thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, God. I hadn't been totally faithful to you, God, but I've repented every time, God. I tithe just like the Bible says. See, I know it's the will of God to tithe. Now the Bible says Satan's rebuked for me. So now the Bible says because I tithe that the windows of heaven are opened up for me. Praise God. And somebody told me one time, they come to me, they said, well, we took our tithe and give to a brother and them to pay their light bill. I said, you got robbed. I said, there's nowhere in Scripture where it says take the tithes and pay people's bills with it. I said, you should have given God his and then you took it out of your own pocket and paid their bills with it. I said, but don't get all discouraged. I said, just don't fall for that again. I said, and I said, you need to make sure that you're led, even if you're going to help people, because people will break you. They will drain you. They will rob from you. We're not supposed to help everybody. That's exactly right. We're supposed to have that inward knowing, God, this you want me. He's not going to speak to your ears unless it's through somebody. Travis, one time he was going to sell a motorcycle and blah, 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 and it come up in my spirit, praise God, and I thought, he needs to get that in the way. But I didn't go to him and say, man, God said, you know, but I was talking to him and Beth, you know, and everything, and I just brought it up. I said, unless God's leading you to give it, and he looked at me, and that's not what he wanted, because he's going to sell it for $3,000 or whatever, $35. He'd get $36 something for it. That don't appeal to our flesh most of the time when God tells us. See, but now God is compelling us to come and follow His will, because He knows His will, there is freedom in the will of God. Freedom from financial pressure, freedom from stress and oppression, and freedom. There's a shield of faith in there that shields us from the enemy. We'll be aware of the enemy when it's the enemy. So I went off and I took that scripture, praise God, and then I started actually ministering different. I thought, you know, it was kind of hard when so-and-so died with cancer and then somebody's wanting me to pray for them for cancer because they were good Christians. And so I started understanding by the Holy Spirit. He's uncovering the will of God for me, you know. And so I'm like, well, bless God, you don't believe based on good sister Christian so-and-so died, or they lost their house, or they lost their car, or they lost their whatever, you know. You believe based on the Bible. The Bible says that God works all things together for the good for Scotty. I can't speak that for everybody. Everybody has to take that and believe that God wants to prosper you. Believe that God's already healed you. Believe that God has already delivered you. Believe that God has already made a way for you walking through the hard places. God knew that I was going to walk. God knew the whole world was experiencing an economy downfall. The whole world. It wasn't just certain people. Everybody right now is experiencing inflation. It costs double at the grocery store, double at the gas pump. It costs double. I used to buy groceries for $3,000. Now, I mean $300. Now it costs $500. But I don't go around, oh, Jesus, it's just taking my prosperity. God, you prospered me, and I laid up. And no, I say, God, thank you, Lord. As things go up, you increase me. You don't believe based on the economy. Don't believe, you know, Teresa, I was going down the road one time, and every time she gets in the truck with me, I had to get gas. And that bothered her, you know. She's like, every time we go somewhere, you have to get gas in there. You just went somewhere. Why didn't you put some gas in there? I said, I'm a $20 man. It takes too long to go over $20. I'm in a hurry. I nearly drove off and left it in the gas thing one time in a hurry. You know, and so I thought, she said, that's crazy. She said, that's poverty thing. She said, look. She said, fill your vehicle up and then you don't have to stop 20 times. You know? And so I thought, oh, she don't understand. Gas is $5 a gallon. Y'all ain't seen five. Y'all remember five? I remember five. I go to Coleman back, suck down 30. Gone, 30 bucks. 30, I put 30 in there, moved up off of the E. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I make it to Coleman and back. And then you're just charging $65 trip charge. Son, you made $18. Woo, 3 hours. And then you come back and you say, thank you, Lord, for the $18. Woo, hallelujah. Bless going in. Bless going. See, you don't give and thank God out of your abundance. Just when you have abundance. You know, the will of God in all things, give Him thanks. For this is the will of God. And I'm telling you what the will of God is. For this is the will of God. Put that Ephesians up there, Beth, please. And so, you know what? Now, to make a good ending to that sad story, I own everything now. I lost a garbage dumpster that they were overcharging me for. They were overcharging this church. I called them up and I said, hey, I said, y'all going to have to do something. I said, you're charging the church this on our garbage dumpster. $600 a month, $656 went up. I'm like, dude, they just don't know it. I'll bring a trailer over and us warriors, I included y'all, we'll take it to the garbage dump once a month. Cost us $50. So I called them up and I said, hey, I said, y'all going to have to do something about this. I said, this can't be happening. I said, ma'am, I said, we put a little bit of clothes in that dumpster down there. Now, used to, I'd have just told them to come get it, but I thought about Doris. I was thinking about Doris. She needs that dumpster down there, man, you know, and everything. And so, you know what? They said, oh, well, Mr. Weston, you've been with us a long time. We've had service with them a long time, 30 years. I have service with them before the church. Long time. They called me back and they said, whew, we don't know what happened to your manager up there. And I said, I don't either. I started to say he got stupid. It's stupid to try to rob us. Right? That devil, he's stupid. Now, he's wise, crafty. He's been around here a long time, but he can't make no sense to himself. You know? And so, time it's all said and done, they called me back. It sent me the contract, well, $400-something. And they call me. Does that sound good? Does that sound good? Asking me. I'm like, that's a good question. That sounds a lot better. We can deal with that. We can deal with that. So I just saved the church $250 a month. We got a raise. Hallelujah. See, now God's wanting you to do that in your life. I do it at home. I went to my insurance lady one time and I told her, see, I found out the will of God is to prosper me. I found out in the Bible that I'm not a beggar, that I'm a believer. I found out that you're not a beggar, you're a believer. I found out that you are a king and a priest unto God. I found out that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I know these to be the will of God. I know the will of God. It says that He always causes Monty, if Monty will let him, or me, or you, to triumph. So I always, that I know that's the will of God for you to get victory. So I go forth with that in heart and mind, that victory, oh victory, is mine. I stand on the Word. You stand on the Word. Let the Lord do the battle. Victory is yours. So I called up the insurance. I don't remember what it was. I had four or five vehicles on insurance, you know, whatever. I don't remember what it was. Something of the nature anyways. And I called her up, you know, and I was debating it or whatever. She said, no, I went to her office and I'm sitting there and she said, you're just going to open up a can of worms, Mr. Weston. I said, I'm used to worms coming out. I said, I'm going to create the worms. I said, I don't care if I'm going to create a problem. I'm going to deal with that problem. Whatever it was, I told her, I said, I'm doing it. She said, well, I don't really think you need to do that. And I left and I thought, well, you're the wrong one I got insurance with. So I called somebody else up and dropped them. They told me, well, Wells Fargo ain't going to. I said, Wells Fargo don't own me. It was on my house is what it was. Well, Wells Fargo, you can't. I said, I can do anything I want to. Wells Fargo's not paying my insurance. I am. And I decide where I'm going to insurance. See, and I started to tell her, you done fooled more than you could. I'm the wrong one for you to try to fool because I have an unction from the Holy. You have an unction from the Holy Spirit and you know things. So I called them up, you know. I mean, I called these other folk up, praise God, and I dropped them. Got me another insurance company. Before you know it, about a year or two goes by, and they call me up. Hey, Mr. Weston, you still around? Yeah, I'm still here. reckon we can run the insurance on your stuff? I said, you want to? Yeah, sure. So I give her all my truck and blah, blah, blah. See, you know, you are not a beggar. And they come way down on my home and all of my trucks and all of that stuff and give me a great package deal. And I said, when do I need to come sign them papers? Well, you know, somebody told me one time, they said, well, we're on a revolving door with our home, and interest rates, they shot up, way up, and the payment went up $200, $300, $400 a month. That's a jump. $400 extra a month. But even if that happens to you, don't sweat. Don't whine. Travis don't look at his interest right now. I mean, he can't handle that interest, how much he's paying interest right now. So he just don't look at it. Let some time go by. Let some time go by. That's smart. While we look not at the things that are seen, right? You don't focus on that. You can't change. But you know what I did do one time? I thought, glory to God, I'm not going to get robbed anymore. So I called the bank up. I said, I'm fixing to make me $35,000. So I called this other bank up. I said, I want to refinance my house. You want to do it? Blah, blah, blah. Their interest rates were 2 or 3% lower, you know. And in my thinking, I'm thinking, man, I've been behind on everything. I'm caught up now. But gosh, they're going to look at all of that stuff. They're going to look into there. You know, that's not going to happen. I thought all things are possible to those that believe. See, we don't do things when we figure out it's a real good time to do it. If you do that, you won't never do it. Because there's never a good time. So I called, oh, well, we'll run it. We'll run it, yeah. They said, would you want to go 30 years? I said, no. I said, I went 20. I said, I'm going to take 5 off. Take 5 years off. Nobody don't really want to do that. I mean, everybody, your payments again. I said, no, that's what I want. See, why? I know the will of God is for me to own that house. And I'm not stretching it out longer. I'm going to believe God for that pay. And so they called me back and they said, well, you know what, Mr. Weston, we can keep it. It's going to be $30 a month higher. And we'll do it for this right here and for 15 years. I said, when can I come? And say, we'll come to you. And I said, well, define then, set a time. Signed that, and I figured it up. I made $35,000. Took 5 years off of that mortgage over one move that I felt like God was telling me to do. See, once you find the will of God, you begin. See, when you find the will of God, then you know where you're going. You know where you're going. Just like if you got it down and you by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Then when sickness comes and attacks you and this and that and all of that, you're just moving toward the health. You're moving toward it. So you're just fighting everything. You're saying it out of your mouth. You're resisting it. Travis just told me, he said, well, I've been attacked a couple of days. He said, well, I want to take something Jesus done took. Well, he ain't taking it. Just called you attacked. I didn't know nothing about it until he told me. And I said, son, that's what resisting is, simple. You just ain't going to take it. I ain't going to take poverty. Jesus whipped poverty at the cross. I whipped it by my faith in him. See, it's by our faith and constant trust in him, and we do that. Once we settle it, Jesus is our Lord, we got our faith planted in him then. We're planted in him. You ain't got to go, you ain't got to win that battle anymore. Now we go about to find the will of God. Jesus said, I come not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And Jesus proved out to us in his ministry on the earth that he didn't want to do the will of God. And one people's like, what? Jesus didn't? No, he's at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, if there's any way that I can get out of this, if there's any other way, God pointed that out to me as a young Christian. He said, Jesus, flesh man, he said, didn't want to do my will because it's fixing to cost him. He said, if you'll look past the cost to the victory. He said, Jesus said it this way. He had vision. He said, for the joy that is set before me, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before, he had vision. God's will give him vision. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to ascend on high. And he knew he was going to come give gifts to us. He knew. So all of that, knowing that it was God's will to exalt him, and he was going to exalt him if he followed God, caused him, and the love that he had for God and the love that he has for us carried him to the cross. But thank God. See, that was God's will, the Bible says, from the foundation of the earth. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Did you know the Jews are still waiting on him? There's a lot of them not saved. There's a bunch of them saved now. But he's already came. He came in the flesh. He came in the flesh. They're waiting on Messiah in that manner. We done received him. We're born again. But it says here, so then they that walk circumspectly, he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Go on, Beth. Oh, it's all. Did you do that in Amplified? Did I put Amplified? I didn't, did it. That's fine. Okay, understanding what the will of God is. See, the only way that you really are going to get understanding in the will of God, some things you're never going, it's like Sandy, she felt, just a recent example, she come to me and she felt like the Lord was telling her, you know, to let the youth come out here for, you know, and it's bear witness in here. Usually if somebody is talking to me and it's not God's will, I feel it in here. It's just a, nah, you know, it's just a, meh. And most people don't even know I feel that because I'm not unwise. I'm understanding that this is not the will of God. This is not the direction of God. And I'm having that, you know, so I felt good on the inside. If I hadn't, I'd have said, well, Sandy, I don't, it's not bearing witness with me. And then I would have said, no. But anyways, time goes on. They come out here, you know, and I know the teenagers, they love me. They just love authority. They love boldness. They love somebody that preaches like they've got authority. Jesus did it, you know, but he loved you. You know, they just love that. They Sandy's, y'all stop. I'm like, put it all away. Shut up. You're interrupting Jesus. Well, some time goes on and everything. And then she feels like the Lord wants her to start it back. You know, start back with the teenagers. So she asked me to talk to me, you know, and everything. I said, sure. And so she's telling me that, and it's bearing witness in here. And I started to take my imaginary cap off and say, enjoy the ride. The battle belongs to the Lord. You know, why? Because there's going to be, you can't bind flesh. You can bind spirits that's, you know, might be influencing people's flesh. But you can't bind, I bind you, Chloe, in the name of Jesus. I bind you. You're still going to act up. Can't bind Chloe. Now, if it's a devil, you know, that's influencing Chloe, you know, you got authority over that, and you take authority over that, and little Chloe's like, oh, anything you want, teacher. Whoo, I love you. I love you. I love you. Now, this taught you something. You know, you can't bind flesh. You know, I told Travis the other day, I said, you can't beat a spirit off your kids with a belt. You can't. You can beat them all day long and they're still going to act up. But if it's a spirit, because you can't solve spiritual problems with natural results, natural reactions. I told him, I said, but you can pray over them, and if it is the devil, they'll just, whoo, yeah, you know, they'll get all good. I've seen some of y'all do it. I come down here and I'm like, oh my God, what in the world's in that church? So I do my little walk around, you know, and all of that stuff. And when I feel that, I'm like, oh, it's gonna half of them gonna get in the flesh tonight. That spirit roaming around there. Praise God, I ain't getting nothing out of service. Whew, preaching long. I ain't been here for 35 minutes. I usually go hour and 10, man. If we're not going long, it's you. It's you, you know. Shall I go around binding them princes? I've told Satan once, I've told him a million, you will not operate in this service tonight. You will not influence flesh tonight. I bind you, I command you, stay out. The angels are encamped around about us. And everybody's coming in. Ooh, yeah, man, we had a good time tonight. Good time tonight. Walking around, Monty been watching me come out there, and he goes around the church the other day, and I'm like, I wonder what Monty's doing. He's marching around. He got back around on this side, and I said, what you doing, man? You marching around the walls of Jericho? He said, no, I figure I'll help you out. And I thought, well, praise God. I said, well, thank you. So he's going around, like two of us now. Whoa, that devil's in trouble. One puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. Before you know it, we're going to be going around the church, and everybody's like, what in the world is that crazy church doing? They're marvelous, walking around the church, just, hey. Well, the Bible says he takes the foolish things of this world. My mind's even told me, man, why don't you go fix that office up? You know, and I'm like, that office is choking me down. I'd rather be out there, you know, and praising God, you know, and walking, and, you know, office is just, it's just not my click. I can click with God in the shower, man. I can click with God right here, click with God down there, click with God in the pew, click with him out yonder, right? See, you need to be pursuing the will of God. Some of you don't realize, you know, you being a mother and putting things into your kids, that's the will of God. You are in the perfect will of God. That is why the enemy tries to bring division in the family. Scripture says it, Matthew 24, it's going to happen. But not to everybody. The Bible says that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. So that tells me that it's not possible to deceive me. If it were possible. If it were possible. Well, then I don't have to be all shook up about that. It's not possible. Why? Because the greater one's in you. We're learning about being led and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the voices of God. We've learned how that when we get around people in the wrong spirit, that if we just stand there like shalaland, we go off and it takes us half a day to get back right with the Lord. Not right with him, but I'm talking about where you feel the spirit, you know. Feeling good. We're learning that stuff. Not to surround ourselves with people that are not going towards God, towards the things of God. Don't mean we're better than or all of that. We know where we came from. We know. That's why I brought a message and I said, I've not fought this far. I've not fought victory and got victory this far to surrender now. I'm not going to surrender to poverty. I'm not going to surrender. And you know, it gets on people's nerves when they're not really going anywhere. But it's God trying to tell them, you know, look, if he'll do it for them, he'll do it for you. You know, if you're going through financial troubles, don't look at everybody going through financial troubles. Get you some preaching going on. Get you the word going on. Get some meditation. Slap them thoughts down. Say, shut up thoughts. Shut up if it's you, devil. It could just be your flesh. Don't label everything as Satan. Sometimes it's the pressure in your own thinking, your carnal mind. Satan will get your mind on stuff. He'll try to get you going in a direction. He's tried this church services before. Get them going in a direction. Somebody testifying the flesh and it gets everybody's flesh stirred up. 35 minutes later, you're trying to figure out which one you want to choke first. They just messed up your whole service. You know? I mean, that's another thing a pastor or leader has to do. I mean, if I come in here and every one of y'all, let's get the hymn book and sings 199. And then everybody's like, my favorite song is 87. And then another one, well, mine's 88. And then before you know it, you got an hour and a half of singing and the preacher ain't got time to preach. Now, you know that wasn't God. That was not God. The word wasn't even preached. And everybody's full of songs. Oh, we sang so much that we just had church. And I'm like, y'all are dead. Everybody in here got their favorite song and we read it. I had a guy come in here one time with his suitcase with his karaoke machine and all of his CDs. He'd been used to going around to other churches and he just does it. He comes in here and I'm looking at him and I'm like, what is he, moving in? I mean, he just rolls his backpack around here. He said, "Yeah, brother, Lord wants me to sing a couple songs this morning." I said, "No, he didn't tell me nothing about it." I said, "He didn't tell me nothing about it." And somebody told me, "Well, God, brother, that's a little rude, ain't it?" No, that ain't the will of God. It's not rude when you say no to something that's not the will of God. They can take it as rude if you want to. I mean, that's like Teresa one time. "Let's just go jump off of Palisades Park. We can't be together," and blah, blah, blah. And I said, "Well, let's do it, baby. We'll just die together." I packed up with her. "We're going to Palisades Park. We're going to jump off the bluff together. If we can't live together here, we'll live together later." Now, we was lost, you know. And now our story is we're getting out of here together, baby. I'm not going before you, and you ain't going before me. We going together, like we always have. Hallelujah. Well, the enemy sometimes tries to get in there, make her feel like I don't love her, or she doesn't, and every now and then, and she'll say, "Are we together?" I'll say, "We're together, baby." I sat over on the couch, lay down Facebook. My baby starts talking. I lay down the glasses in the Facebook. Lay it down there. I'm listening, baby. The other day, she, just out of the blue, she said, "We're together." And I said, "We're together, baby." You know what that is? "I love you." "Yeah." "We're together, baby." Right across the living room. I mean, she's just right there. "We're together. We're all good. We go back to our stuff." "Yeah, baby, we're together." Well, sometimes your mate needs a little confirmation. Well, one time we went through all of that, praise God. See, your marriage is the will of God. Don't let Satan talk you out of it. "Well, you messed up." Now, y'all young kids, you get married and you don't know it's the will of God, you're in trouble. You think Satan won't hook you up? He'll hook you right up. He'll hook you right up with somebody that's anti-God. Looks good, sounds good, feels good. A lot of promises, but the end result will not be good. It will not be good. But if you seek the Lord, we started praying over Travis. I started praying over Travis when he was 7 years old. "God, I thank you that he will get the right girl, because I'll make the wrong choice. I like to pick that. I mean, you know, like to pick a church girl, but some of them ain't good. Just because you go to church don't mean nothing these days. It's how you walk. It's how you believe. It's how you feel. It's a, you know, I mean, you know, if that closeness stuff, kissing and all that turns into a lot of other stuff, it's trying to go on between you and your friend. It ain't your girlfriend, boyfriend. It's your sister and your brother. You know that stuff going on and all that, and your hormones getting kicking a little bit, you better kick it out. You better run from that. Run from that. You'll have regrets later. You'll have regret. Keep yourself for the Lord and let the Lord send the right one. I'm talking about boys and girls. It's important to find be not unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to hook you up with His will. His plan, his person for your longevity life. I mean, you look at your parents, they got a good life. Sure, they got demands on you. Sure, they do things. They don't give you none of the chocolate. They keep it for themselves. They hide the milk, whatever they do. You know, you ain't getting in the fridge. Whatever you do, you know, praise the Lord. But, you know, look at them and say, "Man, I'm going to be there one day. I'm going to be there one day where they're at. They might not have everything right. They might be on my nerves, but look at them. They're happy. They're going after the Lord." And you look at that pattern in front of you and you say, "That's what I want for my life, God. I want that in my life. I want that to be when I become an adult." Now, if your parent has been, you don't want to be like them, then turn your eyes off of them and you want to be like the Lord. You know, go in there and read Hebrews 11 and find in that great cloud of witnesses in there, how they did and all of that and the results in their life. Read and study up on it and say, "God, that's my example." Because there's some parents miss the Lord. There's some parents get out of the will of the Lord. They give a bad example, you know, to their kids, and I'm not downing them. I mean, you know, but we got to teach the ones that ain't had that structured life like we do how to look at life in the future and not have a low self-esteem about themselves. We know that's the will of God. We know what the will of God is. A lot of us know a lot of areas. Tithing's the will of God. Going to church is the will of God. The Bible says in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner some are, and as much more as you see the day approaching, encourage, provoke one another to good works. Talking about going to church and coming together and all that stuff. The last days, that false doctrine is there more than it ever has, and people are giving into it. You know why I know they do? Somebody said here a while back, the church is in decline. I told them, I said, the church is not in decline. I said, people are in decline. The church is strong. The church, I said, if that church had 50 and they've only got 25, they're not in decline. I said, that 25, they're not in decline. I said, there's nothing wrong with the church. There's something wrong with the people. The people are in decline. See, we don't need to get messed up with this stuff, because the Bible says 1,000 to fall at your side, 10,000, but it'll not come nigh you. So you don't quit going to church. And the people that's out of church out there, buddy, I'm telling you, I am one church recruiter. And it don't have to be here in Blount County. I mean, I run across them in Coleman and everywhere else, and I tell them, get yourself back in church. It's still the will of God. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. And most of them's probably saying, oh my God, here he comes. He's going to be on going to church again. Well, they just don't know what. They don't really have insight like I have in this manner, that you go to church and plant yourself and get under the anointed teaching and preaching of God's Word and His presence, worshiping, prayer services, praise services, you know, food service. You learn a lot, food services. That's services. We learn a lot. We learn how to get along with one another out there. Right? Amen. Anybody ain't experienced that? Walking in love, forgiving. I mean, I have. I mean, I've had to do it. I mean, you know, I'm almost got her down now. I'm just happy. Well, walked over there. I'm toting a few boxes. And Tree says, get in line. Telling me, get in line. With y'all, Mac. We're just talking. I'll reach to get I should have been behind y'all back there, waiting in line, I guess. Get in line. I said, just watch me. Just watch me. You know what I did? Turn around, went and got in line, Mac. I went and got in line, Mac. Why? I'm in control. Right? That's the way you got to look at it. Stuff like that. You know? She wasn't meaning nothing. I'm about to mess things up here because she's got it down, who's going to take what and how many over yonder and all that stuff. You know, and here I am. I'm fixing to kind of mess things up a little bit. And she's a structured person. I mean, she's so structured, I have to unstructure her at times. Nothing wrong with that. I like people with structure, you know. But see, the church services and all of that stuff, oh, the praise team. God, if I've been mad one time, I've been mad 100 million. I got so upset one time, I thought I'm just going to lead it. But God, I'm the only one up here. Woo-hoo, now we can get down. You learn on the praise team, right? I mean, we learn in everything. So all of y'all that laid out of church tonight in Georgia and Alabama and Iran and wherever you're at, you're out of the will of God. You're not going after the will of God in that area. And you are going to miss out on what God is wanting to do in your life to take you into your future that He says that He has for you in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of good and not evil, not calamity, that you would have a future and a hope. Tithing is the will of God. You cannot convince me. I'm not a broke man today. I'm not wondering. I'm not, you know, I mean, the Lord has been good. Yes, the Bible says work with my hands that I would have to give. The Bible says that He will bless the works of my hands, but He's told me different things over the years. His will, He would say, I want you to say over your business, big jobs, less work, more money. And I'm telling you, I started saying that, and people are like, boy, there he goes with that. Name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. But you know what I got today? The most of my jobs is big commercial jobs. Travis and him does all the work, and I keep most of the money. Come on, somebody. That's what he showed me. That's what he did. That's what he did, praise God. And then the Bible says that the generous soul shall be made fat. So them boys get paid real good. Because I'm a generous man. You're a generous man. You're a tithing's the will of God. Don't back off on tithing. Let all your bills get behind. If that's what happens, and that's coming to challenge the will of God. When that challenges the will of God, you just get more determined in your heart and mind. Take courage. Use your faith and take courage. Because now that is coming to oppose the will of God, it's also coming to stop the blessings from the will of God, from whatever we do the will of God. Loving one another, I don't have to feel like I love you. Come on, somebody. I don't have to feel like I love you. But I've had people say, well, Brother Scott, you just don't understand. Unexpected things happen in my finances. Some of y'all are having trouble with this. Unexpected things happen. God understands. No, God understands His Word. God understands the power of doing His Word. God understands that He can supply all of your needs. People lay hold of that scripture out there and confess it and ain't give a dime to the church, ain't give a dime to a missionary and all that. Over in Philippians, he is writing to the Philippian church. He told them, he said, y'all are the only ones that help me. Y'all are the only ones that give to me. He said, Philippians 4:13, he said, y'all are the only ones. He said, and then he goes on in 19, and he said, but my God shall supply all of your needs. He said, not that I needed your gift. He said, but that this would be put to your account for your benefit, for your future. I've told people before, you can't claim that scripture if you're not a doer of it. If you're not giving anything to God, how can you believe that God, you can't believe you're out of the will of God? The Bible says that He loves cheerful givers. Somebody that's glad to give. Now you have to get past your mind to do that. But once you get past that mind, your heart, it feels good. I mean, it feels good to me to buy somebody a car. It feels good to me to sow a $200 or $300 chunk into the church over my tithes. It feels good on the inside. And it's not up here, hey, y'all guys, I gave $300 yesterday. Let's go to the next bidder. Which one? Somebody give $100. Somebody give $250. Y'all never know about my giving. I never let y'all know. I put a pencil in the offering and seen God do miracles for me. I didn't brag to nobody because I didn't want to tell them I'm putting a pencil. God, they will think you're stupid. An offering to me. I put a pencil in there, buddy. I can put a bunch of them in there now. But God, I took that pencil. That's the only one I had. And I put that pencil in that offering plate. Praise God. Hallelujah. Didn't have nothing underlined in my Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what I had to tell a guy one time? Don't bring chickens, man, please. You're going to bring some chickens. Tie these chickens. We give him the D. Get some chicken pen. Praise the Lord. Gosh, I'm done over. I just want to encourage you. Wherever you don't know the will of God and you get in, seek the Lord. You know, ask Him, what's your will in this? What do I do in this, God? Which way do I go in this? And I mean, didn't get quiet. And just be looking on the inside and let the Lord. The Bible says if you'll acknowledge Him, He will direct you in Proverbs 3. So I want to encourage you, find the will of God, and I mean make up your mind you're going to do the will of God, hallelujah, whatever it is, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And you make up your mind you're going to do that, praise God, and you've got faith to do it because the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any. Peter walked on the water based on the Word of God. He told them, let's go to the other side, a storm showed up. You know, he done told them, let's go the other side. That would have been good enough. Just sleep right on through the storm. Don't sweat it. You're going to the other side. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So I want to encourage you, praise God. You stand strong and firm. We're in evil times. And people got their own interpretation of the Word. God told me one time, He said, well, everybody's got a different interpretation of the Word. I said, no, not everybody. I said, the Christians will have the same revelation come out of that Word. I said, there ain't different interpretations. And I get that because he said he's coming back after a unified, fully mature, right? So it won't be a whole lot of different interpretations of God's Word. That's what the problem is. That's carnal man interpreting it to fit their own will, usually. Praise God. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, right now. We